You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca, Alberta's only regulated online gambling website. Use the promo code, and you get a new one every month, Greger50, and you'll get a free $50 play only at PlayAlberta.ca.
Evening. How are you doing today?
Hey, what's going on, Connor? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Thank you. How are you doing today?
Well, tell me you're spending your New Year's Eve in front of college football.
We'll have it on for like maybe the first 2 hours. Multiple screens, though, Spec. That's the key. We're going to have that going, World Junior and NHL hockey.
Good?
Yeah.
You got some people coming over?
No. We got the little guy, and his bedtime is about 7:30. So not the craziest of parties. We have to keep it a little quiet. But no.
Still like 2 hours before my bedtime, so yeah. What's the difference?
You got a late one tonight, though. The 7:30 start on New Year's Eve. Whose idea was that?
Oh, my God. I've spent listen, it's fun when you're having a party to have that on in the background, I would think. I've spent a career missing New Year's Eve, buddy.
What time?
Ask my wife what she thinks of it.
Yeah, well, no doubt. What time do you think you'll get out of there tonight? Like 11:45? Celebrate on the journey home?
Like, you know, I have a couple shortcuts I might be able to make and get out of there a little quicker. But the game, what is it? 7:30 game? That means it's going to end at 10:15.
Yeah.
Right? So by the time we get our quotes to get back out of the room and sit down at our computer, it's pretty close to 11. You know, so you better have some pretty good shortcuts if you're going to be anywhere fun by midnight.
You're just praying for that 6-0 going into the third, right? Get the article. Get a little head start, maybe.
Some version of that, for sure. The Oilers will be, no matter what happens tonight, in first place over the New Year's for the first time in a long time, with Anaheim losing in overtime and Vegas getting beat by Nashville today.
Nashville. I don't know how many people would have thought this the way the season had started. I don't think it was ever as bad as people made it out to be. But do you think there was kind of, if you had to pinpoint a game where the Oilers figured out the game defensively, offensively, and kind of turned it around?
I don't know. Like, I guess it probably happened near the end of that 7-game Eastern trip when they went into Tampa and lost. They were up 1-0 with 3 minutes left or whatever. Maybe it happened there. There was a game before that. I think they played pretty well. I was away at that point, but I wasn't at those games. They went to Florida and got some good luck and won. Broski wasn't any good. And I think that helped them with some confidence. And then they came home and they started to play a little bit better defensively. Like, you know, it is. It's true what they say. It's really your defensive structure and your game, you know, your defensive game and how much you give up that dictates whether you're going to be a decent team or not. And the difference is, you know, the Oilers, if the Oilers play well and they trade chances with you and, you know, we both split a low amount of chances, the Oilers' offensive weapons are so good, they're going to win that game most nights. So as long as they don't play like they did in Winnipeg, where the other team has way more chances than they have, they'll win most nights because, you know, given 5 grade A's each, Edmonton's going to score on more of them than your team probably is, right?
100%. It's funny because I was thinking the exact same thing. Say anywhere in Florida, whether it was the loss to Tampa 2-1 or beating the Panthers 6-3. Since then, it's been win 2, lose 1 because we know they have not won 3 straight in a row. So the theory tells me that tonight they're going to win and then they'll lose on Saturday against Philadelphia. But hopefully they turn that around. What do you think about Mangiapane getting a look on the second line tonight with Draisaitl and Podkolzin?
Well, why not? To me, he's got to be a top six player. And if you're trying to trade him, you're trading to somebody who's hoping to get a top six player. And, you know, in terms of if this is a little, I think every game he plays from here on in is going to be a showcase because he's obviously on the block. He obviously wants out and him and his agent are trying to get out. So, you know, I wouldn't accuse the Oilers of showcasing him. I think every time he steps from the ice, it's a showcase now. But there's no point playing him on the fourth line. You got to hope you put him with good players, hope he finds something good, hope he piques someone's interest, hope a team like Winnipeg that just has no offense at all can watch him play and say, well, you know what? He's pretty good with Draisaitl and Podkolzin. He had 2 points last night. What the hell? We got nothing to lose. I mean, I think that's what you're doing here. No one thinks they're acquiring a 35-goal player, but they do want to acquire a guy who's got some current mojo going on and putting him in the press box or burying him in the fourth line and giving him 7 minutes. That really is probably not proper a proper way to handle your trade asset, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what I mean? I kind of like it, and maybe it's just kind of one-track mind. Find open space and wait for Draisaitl to find you. Let it rip. And I do like what it does for that third line as well. I think Rossovic and Savoy could be an interesting pairing there with Matthias Janmark. And then your fourth line, Jones, Henrik, and Trent Frederick. We were actually talking to Joe Haggerty out of Boston about Trent Frederick, and he said, you know, he thought when he signed the eight-year deal, maybe things might have changed because the Boston Bruins never really gave him that commitment, and he kind of had to keep kind of working for that and play hungry. But he also said that he doesn't really look at Trent Frederick and doesn't think he visions himself as that maybe physical presence that some Oilers fans do, and he thinks maybe he's more of a skill-type player. For Trent Frederick, now down to the fourth line, I mean, what does he do to get going here?
Well, I mean, he did fight Tom Wilson like three times in his career. So obviously, I mean, that tells me two things. He knows his job, you know, to some extent, mm-hmm. and he's got tons of courage. You know, anyone who drops a mitts with Tom Wilson has got my hats off to him. You know, that takes big cojones. So, I mean, I think you have to look, whichever team you come to, whatever team you're playing for, you got to look around and find a role and a niche that you can fill that the team needs, that maybe something that's not getting done by anybody else. And I won't, there's no chance I'm looking at Trent Frederick and thinking he's coming here thinking I gotta help the offense on this team. The team doesn't need help on offense. That's not why he's here. I wouldn't think anyone ever told him that's why he's here. I would be very surprised if that was his understanding of why he's here. So it seems pretty evident. I mean, you watch Jones play, you watch Clattenburg play, you know, he, even though Trent Frederick's 27 and has all the security in the world now, he needs to find that passion. He needs to find that, you know, those rookie, like a guy like Clattenburg has it when he's young. And then so often they get older and they sign a big contract and they lose it. Right.
Yeah.
You know, Clattenburg or Frederick is Clattenburg in 9 years from now. Hopefully not, but that's what I'm seeing. So he needs to find some passion. He needs to find, you know, he needs to get off his laurels and forget about any kind of security and forget about what he's making and how long he signed for and go out and find a way to be a difference maker in a hockey game. And that won't be by scoring a hat trick every night. We all know that.
Speck, and you watching? Oh, sorry.
Can't be that hard.
Yeah. Are you watching the World Juniors right now?
I am. It's 3-0 for Sweden. They're loading up on the mighty Yanks, I see.
Oh, Pettersson doing, putting the fingers in the ears. Can't hear the crowd, maybe. That's fun to see what's going on in the World Juniors. Have you been
Another
watching?
Pettersson. That's all the Swedes need. Oh, my God. How many Petterssons do they have? Is that must be like Smith. And we don't have that many Smiths on our team.
No. You know, get him to Vancouver immediately. That's what I'm saying. I like that moxie.
No kidding.
Have you been following along Team Canada at the World Juniors?
Oh, of course, yeah. I mean, a reasonable amount. I've been watching most of it. I didn't see the Denmark game, but, you know, they got a good team. Well, what are you seeing?
I like that they're kind of ramping up, and obviously getting that first game against Czechia. We knew that game would be competitive. I thought a Latvia, I know I'm not going to say anything bad about Latvia. I know you're a proud Latvian history. But I like that they kind of put the boots to Denmark, and I'm interested to see what happens again tonight. I think Gavin McKenna had that offensive output. Hopefully that continues, but I think they're ramping up at the right time, and I hope it continues tonight.
I agree. Who do they get tonight? The Slovaks?
Finland.
No, Finland. I'm sorry. Yeah. Finland, of course. Listen, at some point, every Canadian team needs the 9-1 game. Right, you look at your draw. You got Denmark, you got Latvia. Czechs aren't that. Who's the other team? The Czechs were in their division.
Yep.
Czechs are okay, you know, not bad. But to me, like, so Latvia takes you right down to the wire in overtime. That's not supposed to happen, but it does happen once in a while. You gut it out, you get your 2 points, you go okay. But I thought the 9-1 was it 9-1? I think against Denmark.
Yeah.
Every Canadian team needs to feel that game. Everyone gets on the scoreboard. Everyone starts feeling good. You were going to beat Denmark. A 3-1 game doesn't give you anything. At least a 9-1 game, everyone gets something out of it. So now we're through all the sort of the part of the tournament that I clearly don't, you know, I pay passing attention to. Now it gets fun. The New Year's Eve game against Finland. The Finland's a good team. Then we go into a quarterfinal that's been the Canada's bugaboo for how many years have they lost that quarter now? 2 years in a row?
Mm-hmm.
At least two.
And then going back in history, there's been some disappointing ones as well, yeah.
Oh, boy. It's not a for sure that quarter, no matter who you're playing. So yeah, let's go. Like, this is where the World Junior gets fun. And now the other side's pretty good. Obviously, America's got a great team. And if I'm watching Sweden beat the States, then they're not bad either. So here's what I like. I'm a Canadian fan of Canada. I like the fact Canada has to work a hell of a lot harder at this tournament than they used to work. I don't want 8-1 every single night. I don't want Canada winning 9 golds in 11 years or whatever that streak was. This is way better. It's a challenge for Canada most nights. I'd prefer to watch that hockey every day. What about you?
Oh, yeah. It's great to see, you know, the rest of the world catching up. You can always take a look at the notable names missing from the Canadian roster because they are playing in the NHL and how things could be different, but that gives other players opportunities. So I'm with you. I want the competitive games, a little bit more entertainment, and it is good to see the game growing where you're seeing some of these other maybe non-traditional markets getting closer. I shouldn't say non-traditional because I still think there are kind of those 6-7 hockey powers, but
there are.
Whenever you get that upset, you know, you see the Finns take down the States or tonight the Swedes doing it, I think that's just great for the game. And we'll see if the Americans can mount a comeback here. As Mark Spector joins us here on the Jason Greger Show, Connor Halley sitting in. The other big news today, Spec, was the Canadian men's Olympic team. To me, not the biggest surprise or outrage. There's a few names I would have liked to see on the roster, but obviously management disagrees with me. What did you think of the announcement? Any surprises for you?
Well, I guess I was a little surprised the entire defense was exactly the same. Mm-hmm. I thought that, you know, they scout and scout and scout. You think they might have found someone else. I was surprised to hear Devin Taves announce that he's not going until his fourth baby's born, and I'm not sure that Team Canada was positively knew that they knew about that. That's crazy. I thought that it would have been nice. And this is where, because we watch Zach Hyman play all the time, I felt like he couldn't have done anything more to make that team. You know, he comes back early from what was a pretty bad injury, man. He dislocated his wrist. He ripped up a bunch of ligaments in there. It was ugly. He missed a ton of time. And he's got 21 points in 21 games. And he's playing great. And his last game out, he makes a defensive play that saves the game. So I get it. It's a hard team to make, you know. And I talked to him today with everybody else. And he's at peace with the fact that he gave himself every chance he could. And I respect that. But I thought he would have been a nice story, like a nice reward to make that team. And he'd have made him better. I mean, he's a good, good player on both ends of the rink. So that's one guy I was kind of hoping might make it that didn't.
I'm with you. I mean, it's a 6-game tournament, max. You got the 3-round robin games, and then it's right into win or go home. And I said it with Tyler Yemchuk earlier today. I think the thing about Zach Hyman is he's got such a high floor. Like, some players, when they're not scoring, they're doing nothing. If Zach Hyman's not scoring, he's winning puck battles, he's throwing hits, he's a nuisance out there, he's so good with a net front presence. So I agree with you. I think that, and it's hard to argue because the team is so good, but a few names potentially there that I think Zach Hyman could have been there instead of. We'll wait for the American roster announcement, I suppose, on, what is that, Tuesday? No, wait, Thursday? What day is it today? Wednesday? Friday? Anyway, it's Friday. It's definitely Friday. It's these Wednesday. Days are between Christmas Friday. And New Year's. I'm all over the place right now. Well, Spec, thanks so much for doing this today. We appreciate it, and hopefully you don't get stuck at the rink too long. You can sneak out and have some New Year's Eve celebrations.